Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 215. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com, at turnersparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. This show is at Lost in America Pod. Kaplan, on the show today, we have the great Kevin Jay, a comedian out of Malaysia who I performed with a long time ago. He's going to be on in just a minute. We're talking about the insane political situation going on over there. But before we get to him, Cap, Patreon.
Yeah.
You want to support this show? Thank you for listening. But if you really can, we love our listeners.
Let's don't even thank them.
We like our listeners.
Yeah.
That's we love we our Patreon subscribers.
Exactly. There's a real difference.
There's a real difference. We take priority hate mail from Patreon subscribers, by the way. We encourage the hate and we respond to it one by one. If just a regular listener sends us hate mail, straight to the garbage. We don't even look at it.
I don't even read it. I don't even acknowledge it exists. It's not hate. It doesn't count. But Patreons can say whatever they want. They can say my mom wears army boots. They can say, listen, they can say, they can call me fat. They can call me thin. They can call me ugly. They can call me anything. As long as you keep paying us on Patreon, we love you.
How do you do that, Cap? Here's how you do it. Patreon.com/Lost in America. That's how you support this podcast. Because listen, yes, we have a sponsor now. Yes, we're getting big time. But the sponsor doesn't pay for it. They're a great sponsor, but the engine is the Patreon subscribers. So for $5 a month, you get 3 extra episodes a week of just Kaplan and I doing a 30-minute full-throttle comedy podcast. Think of it this way. Forget you on your way to work, you listen to morning radio, right?
Forget
no
it.
Longer. Listen no. to us. Let us be your half-hour commute every morning. So that's
I love what, Howard Stern, but come on. He's old. Come on. You know,
don't
come
even mention our competitors, Captain. For $5 a month, patreon.com/Lost in America, you get 3 extra episodes of Cap and I. For $10 a month, you get those 3 shows, plus you get this fantastic
shirt.
T-shirt that Kaplan's wearing right now, Lost in America. Number one in Armenia for anyone who doesn't know. I don't know what rock you've been living under, but a couple months ago, we went to number one in Armenia.
If you've been to an Armenian's home, everybody in Los Angeles knows, because anyone who's been to an Armenian friend, anyone has an Armenian friend has heard that our podcast is just on. They just run it 24/7. The Armenians.
You've seen
they
a shrine to Kaplan in their living room.
There is a shrine.
So we went to number one in Armenia. Everybody knows about it. We printed T-shirts because when you go to number one, you print merch.
First rule in podcasting school. I teach you that day one.
And listen, what else you could do? You could just buy merch from us. I have this great Lost in America, number one in Armenia coffee mug you could pick up. We got satchels, handbags, tote bags,
iPhone cases,
anything, right? Yeah. And then for $20 a month, you can get your own ad on this podcast. And we're not talking ad. This isn't like your company advertises. I mean, I guess if you have a small business, sure, why not? But this is, if you just want to say, hey, say what's up to your neighbor down the street on his birthday, we'll do that. If you want to say you hate your neighbor on his birthday, we'll do that too.
If you want to plan an insurrection, that's $25 a month. But we're here for anything. We don't edit. Whatever you want to say otherwise. You come in, you say, yeah, that auto dealership stinks, we'll print it. Whatever it is, we'll go with your side. We are admin at our core. We love it. You know,
exactly. So we're admin at our core.
Well, look, our advertisements are big. We're getting advertisements, as you mentioned, and they pay for the Lexus, right? But the gasoline doesn't come cheap. You need. So we need the Patreons, and we will. We need your money. So please support us.
Kaplan's just begging now. All right, let's move on. Please. Let's get to today's episode, Cap. Yes. I'm going to say what I know about this story. Well, what you can start, but make it quick because you're a little verbose.
Oh, look, whoa, fighting words. Hate mail. Look at that. Are you a Patreon or something? Well, all I'll say is that our guest last week, Benji Levitt, said, you should go to Malaysia next because they've got
Our guest last week was Peja Bajovic.
Oh, well, 2 weeks ago, he said, go to Malaysia.
That's not true. Peja said, go to Malaysia.
You're right. And he said, they've got graft. They've got parliament falling apart. It's a great story. And we looked into it and we said, you're right, because they dissolved their parliament, I believe, in March. And they've recently decided they're not going to do a new one. Actually, I've got the facts on, but they're not going to do a new one. I understand it until coronavirus is over, is what I hear. The guy who's in charge now is saying we're not going to hold elections until coronavirus is.
And I step in.
I missed a step there, so clean that up for me. Yes,
you missed a step, and you got
You came at me with a haymaker. You threw me off the.
Speed up the pace. All right, I'm going to do this. Speed up. Here's what happened. This is so Kevin doesn't have to explain everything. This is based off what I read in the last hour, by the way. In 2018, their prime minister lost his reelection by his name was Najib. Mm. So Najib was the prime minister of the ruling party that had been in charge since the 1950s. Okay. And he lost in 2019. Big upset. Who did he lose to in 2018? He lost to his previous mentor, who was also the previous leader of his own party, named Mahathir. Mahathir. Yeah. Okay, so he comes in 2018. Now, Cap, here's where it gets wacky. He's 94 years old.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what they say. In America, we got Biden, who's what, 79? He's a youngster compared to this guy. With age,
different generation.
Yeah, hold on there. He's before the greatest generation. What is that? The roaring
20s? Boomer.
What generation is a 94-year-old?
So Mahathir comes in 2018, but he comes in as a coalition with this guy Anwar. Now, that gets dicey too. They have a long history, which we'll get into later, where they didn't. Sometimes they like each other. Sometimes they one puts the other in prison
For being gay or something. Right.
We'll get to that later, Kaplan. Right. Now. That happened. Okay. Then they start a coalition in 2018 and Mahathir says, I'm going to put you, you're going to take over. Don't worry about it. Says to Anwar, you'll take over at some point. Yeah. We'll be cool. Okay. Well, sometime never comes, as we learned from a lot of these places.
That's why I mixed up the Israel episode. He pulled the Bibi Netanyahu move on him.
Mahathir's out in 2020. Now Muhyiddin. Muhyiddin's in 2020, and now the king put him in, though. The king said, Muhyiddin, you're in, now it's 2020, you're in. The king said, now it's 2020, and then you're in. And now that guy's just running the country. He's never been elected, as far as I can tell. He's just put in as the prime minister, and it seems like, as you said at the very end, they're not going to have elections until the end of coronavirus.
Right.
Kevin, how did we do? Welcome. Wait. Before you answer that question, I want to introduce you properly. Kevin Jay is a fantastic stand-up comedian based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He has a special out on Netflix called Everybody Calm Down. It came out a couple of years ago. Very cool. And also, he and I performed together in Myanmar at a sports bar in the middle of a possible, I don't know if it was a coup going on or what was happening. But Kevin, welcome to the show.
Genocide outside.
Oh, hi. You got 10%, I think, of the story.
Yes,
that's pretty good for us.
We'll take it.
Yeah, 10%. Actually, you know what? Let me rephrase that. I think 1%, because there's so much more that's happening. You think you're confused? We are confused. Yeah, but we don't know what the hell is going on.
So out of that 1%, I think I got 99% of the 1%, and Kaplan got 1%.
You rushed me. My brain doesn't work well rushed. Let me see.
Anyway, Kevin, where should we start? We'll leave it up to you. Where do you want to?
So in 1957, right?
Let's start there.
1957.
It's a 10-part series.
We got independence. And so that's how it all started, right? So we had the ruling party, which was called the Barisan Nasional at that time.
So it started with independence from
England.
Colonial, yeah, England.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's when it all started, right? So basically, so we had the ruling party, which was UMNO. Then they made a coalition called Barisan Nasional with all the other parties as well. So it's about 32 parties or something. And they've been the ruling party for 61 years, right? So in 2018, well, just before that, then the last prime minister that we had, Najib Razak, as you may know, stole about $4.5 billion from Malaysia, which is fine. To be fair, I mean, you know, I mean, it's inflation. Every prime minister has stolen money from Malaysia. So, you know, why should he be any different?
Is that a record?
Pardon?
Is that the most ever, though? $4.5 billion?
Yeah, but if you take inflation, I mean, you know, you've got to put inflation into it.
Yeah.
But no, asterisk. I mean, just before that, Mahathir Mohamad, who was the prime minister for 22 years before that, from
81 to 2003. I looked it up. There you go.
That's right. So 21 years or 22 years, yep. He was prime minister. I mean, he stole money as well, I guess, you know, as allegedly. But the thing is, he was so powerful, nobody could dare touch him, right? Although he stole money, I mean, I guess, you know, he developed Malaysia as well. And we became, you know, we did well at that time. The Twin Towers, we had, you know, new airport, blah, blah, blah. Everything was great, right? And then he steps down. And then he gives the power to Abdullah Badawi, right? Who basically was supposed to be the clean guy. He didn't take any money. He was not supposed to, at least. But he was not the greatest prime minister, right? And then Mahathir Mohamad said, no, we can't have this anymore. We should have Najib now. And so Abdullah Badawi said, all right, I'll step down. So he steps down. Najib takes over. Everybody was happy. And then we find out that he, you know, he'd done a lot of things. Like, for instance...
He did good things. Or
no? Oh, no. No, not really.
No. I thought maybe you're saying he did a lot of good. And
There was a Mongolian model that was murdered in Malaysia.
Oh. Right? That's when you say I've done a few things. That's a thing.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
He was not involved. So, well, here's the story, right? Mongolian model... was murdered in Malaysia. Now, how was she murdered? She was shot and then taken to the woods, and then they stuffed C4 up her crevices. Whoa. And blown up.
Boom.
Right? So, yeah, they found pieces of her remains, and they did a test, and it was her. So, the thing was, two police officers of the special branch, or like, you know, like the CIA kind of thing, in Malaysia, was arrested, and they were charged with the murder, along with Najib's personal aide or political advisor, right? So he was, now the three of them were charged, but for some strange reason, Najib's personal assistant, which was Razak Baginda, now he was acquitted straight away. Like, yeah, nothing wrong. You can go ahead, right?
Some strange reason.
The two police officers were sentenced to death.
Right? A little bit unfair system.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, everybody was saying, like, look, police officers don't just kill people. They have to work on orders. Who gave the order?
Yeah, for no reason. Go kill a model.
A model? They don't just kill models, at least.
I mean, I've been to Malaysia. There's a lot to do on a Friday night. You don't have to come up with things.
There's plenty of women out there. You don't need to murder a model.
So the backstory to this was, when it came out during the trial, was that, so... this model, Altan Tuya, was the translator for the purchase of two submarines that were bought from France, right? She was the translator. And then she had an affair with Raza and allegedly with Najib as well. Now, we don't know if that's true or not. Again, it's still allegedly. Okay. And then what happened was, she wanted her money. Well, she wanted basically her share of the bribe that was happening. And she showed up in Razak Baginda's house. And Razak Baginda allegedly called Najib and his wife, Rosma. And they sent in the special branch to pick her up and take care of her.
Yeah. Right? So what year was that roughly?
This was in 2012, if I was not mistaken, or 2015, something like that.
Okay. And
that's so before he stole the $4.6 billion, or he was in the...
Well, that was while he was stealing the $4.6
While he was stealing it.
Because,
okay.
Because the purchase of the submarines as well, that was when he was defense minister, right? So he was in charge of the purchase of the two submarines. Now, I can tell you this, because I've seen it in my own eyes, those submarines don't sink. I mean, submarines have one job.
Not to, right? They go underwater.
So you mean when you put the model in charge of picking the new submarines, it doesn't... She was translating? Was a bad translation? She asked for floating submarines, maybe. On
she asked for a boat.
She asked to be exploded. I don't know.
And what language is she translating? Like in Malaysia, people speak English. French people really can't learn English to the point where they need a Mongolian translator?
Yeah, I don't know. She speaks Russian, French. Yeah. She's like really, you know, multilingual. And I mean, she was hot as well.
Good for her.
So anyway, moving on. God rest her soul. No, but she, and then she basically was blown up. So there's two police officers were stuck in jail, right? And then about 2 years later, their appeals went through, and they were like, "Ah, you're free now."
They went from death penalty to off out of jail. Yeah,
death penalty to well done.
Whoa.
Yeah, but. And then the prosecutor appealed again, and then they got the death penalty again.
Oh, yikes. Right?
Oh, that sucks. That really sucks.
Yes. Double whammy. But
one of them,
that's
one
a double of them jeopardy, really yeah. smart.
What he did was he left. He left to Australia. And that's when, so he's detained in Australia where where there's no extradition for the death penalty.
Okay.
Right. Smart. So he's detained in Australia, and he said, "I'm staying here where I'm not gonna die. I'm not going back to Malaysia where they're gonna kill me." And so the thing was, a lot of people have been asking him to, you know, tell us what happened. Tell us what happened. But he's been quiet for now. So that put that aside, okay. Right? So then, as Prime Minister, Najib received, I think it was 2.4 or is it $786 million in his private account, right?
I saw he said he didn't do anything wrong, but he did acknowledge that the money did appear in his private account.
Oh yeah, no, at first he was like, "What private account? I don't know anything about this." And then there's this investigative journalist called Claire Brown from the UK, and she used to live in Sarawak, so she used to you know, expose, like, you know, the Sarawakian, you know, lumber tycoons, blah, blah, blah. So what she did was she got a document and, you know, a few letters from the Swiss guy who was he was detained in Thailand, but that was before that. So what this Swiss guy was working for a company called Petro Saudi, right? So now what happened was Najib created this sovereign wealth fund called 1MDB. Right, which is supposed to invest money for Malaysia. So they got $1 billion to invest in this company called Petro Saudi. Now, Petro Saudi sounds legit. Mm-hmm. You know,
it sounds like a real oil company, right?
Oh yeah, Petro Saudi. Like, I mean, it's Saudi. I mean, they have oil.
I would buy 100 shares of that if you told me to. I mean, it sounds like a real thing.
Yeah, but if you look it up, they don't exist. they don't own any oil. Like, it's just Petro Saudi. It's just like, you know, Petro Kaplan. It's a name.
It's like a movie, like a name of a movie oil company. But yeah.
Yeah. So 1MDB apparently put in $1 billion into this venture, right? Now, it's all obviously being managed by this guy called Joe Low, who basically nobody knows.
Shout out
to Joe Low, the party man of the Malaysian Straits. I don't know. So apparently, this was all set up by Joe Low, right? Now they have this Petro Saudi. And then, so this guy, the Swiss guy who was working there, so he was hired by the Petro Saudi bosses and said, "Look, you just take care of the accounts. Don't worry about anything. You take care of the accounts, right?" So he was like, "Yeah, as long as you pay me $5 million a year." And they were like, yeah, that's fine. $5 million. Here you go. They put him up in a suite in Switzerland. Everything was great. He was having a good time. And then they stopped paying him. Mm. Why? Nobody knows, right?
Yeah, so greedy.
He's owed about, I think, 10 or 15 million or something like that. So he never got his money. And he was getting antsy. He was calling the bosses and going like, where's my money? And they were like, yeah, just do your job, man. Just do your job. Don't worry, the money's coming. And after 2 years, he left. He left the job. He went to Thailand, right? What he did was he created a spa kind of hotel, yeah. A villa. So, and he was there, he was having a good time, but he was calling the bosses and go like, look, you owe me money. If you don't pay me the money, I'm going to release the emails that you've sent.
You got to pay your hush money.
I mean, I understand they're making billions and they're not going to pay a guy $5 million a year.
Yeah,
like
that
seems like nothing. Getting greedy here.
Yeah. And all he wanted was his $5 million. Right.
Yeah,
and
it's reasonable.
So it's obvious that Petro Saudi bosses were not going to pay him. So he called the Malaysian media and said, look, for $5 million, you can have this, right?
This is price for everything.
He's selling it to the newspaper?
Would they have that?
And
the Malaysian
there
Times?
There was a newspaper called The Edge in Malaysia. And they decided, you know, this could be something worth looking at. And Claire Brown was there as well. And she showed up to the meeting in Thailand. And he gave them the papers and said, nah, do I get my $5 million now? And they were like, oh, let us look at it and we'll see. Right. So they took the, and they were like, look, there's this painting. I can't remember what painting it was, but it was an expensive painting. You can take this as collateral. And the Swiss guy just went, it's okay. I trust you.
Oh, wow.
So they got the document.
Trusting this guy.
Oh yeah. This guy's an idiot.
A sucker.
Not a great businessman.
So they go back to Malaysia. They look at the documents and it's very damning. It's, you know, it's basically, you know, money that's gone into the Malaysian prime minister's private account and stuff like that. So they publish it. Like they immediately publish it without paying.
Wait, what about the $5 million?
Yeah, well, you know. So they publish it. And then what happens is the Swiss guy gets arrested in Thailand, right? So he's put in jail and like, you know, because of blackmail, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, it was blackmail. That was the charge.
I would imagine.
But the part of the blackmail is you need to get something or at least like, you know, didn't even give him anything.
He got screwed. That's what he got. And
not a good blackmailer. Blackmail 101, at least.
So he's gone to jail, right? Now, so they've released that and Najib first came out and said, oh no, there's nothing. I don't know anything about this. I don't know. This is not true. Yeah. Not true. Not true. And then the guy from the bank comes out and says, yeah, this happened. And, you know, why wasn't it, you know, public knowledge at that time? Because you have to, you know, tell the government that you made that much money. And then later on, Najib changed his story. He said, yeah, I knew about it, but it was a donation from the Saudi government.
Yes.
Saudi monarch. Really.
So he had to step down at this point, or is he still flying? He's still fighting it.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong. It's a donation. That's
a donation.
Oh, yeah. 780. How much? Let me ask you this, right? I'm sure you know this. How much did Biden get from election donations?
I don't know, actually. Cap, do you know?
That would be about $600 million. I made my.
But he had to spend it on things. He had to spend it on advertising, and he didn't just put it in his bank account. I assume.
And it's, not scandal. It's not from one donor. I mean, he's got it from like a lot of people.
Yeah, right? Whatever, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, and $600 million. And before that, Obama got about $500 million. Before that, whoever got $400 million. And of course, I'm not talking about Trump because he finances.
Trump actually got way less than everyone else. He never.
Yeah, because he financed most of his own.
Do any of these guys have anything to do with Petro Saudi? Do we have any news to break or no?
No, not at all. I'm just doing a comparison. Okay. Like, you know, the fact that, look, an American president gets about 600.
Oh, he gets even less. Right. He gets less than them.
Yeah, and this guy gets $783 million from one donor. Like, that's just...
You need some campaign finance laws. We have caps and stuff. And how much one person can give, I think it's like $2,300 or
something. What was the name of that super
fan? If I open an OnlyFans, I'm not
Feingold.
Yeah, go ahead.
So he's like, no, this is a donation. Nothing is wrong. So the anti-corruption agency comes along and says, we're going to do an investigation on you. 2 weeks later, they said, you did nothing wrong.
Tough investigation.
He's their boss?
Is that? Yeah, of course.
You and cannot investigate me. I'm investigating myself.
That is exactly what he did after that. Yeah. Because he started a 1MDB investigation council, right?
Yeah.
And he's the chair of that council.
This guy's awesome.
And basically, over the years, found nothing wrong with their accounts.
Sure.
Nothing wrong. Like, you know, even the CEO of 1MDB, you know, this guy, he just goes around and says, look, we've got the money. We are not in debt. We're okay. The money's right here, right here, right here. We've got money. No problem. Right. We've been paying our debts. Yes, we are in a billion debt, right? They've got $1 billion debt because that's what they invested in Petro Saudi. And they're like, look, we've got assets. We've got land. We've got this. We've got that. We've got money. No problem. We've been paying our debts, right? So everything was great. And then came the 2018 elections, right? Now, the people obviously didn't buy this shit, right? Nobody bought this.
Right.
Nobody bought this.
Can I ask, what are the, obviously the media is free. It's not a control. The media is not controlled by the government. So in the newspaper every day, are they reporting on all this stuff? It's very common knowledge.
No, like, the media is completely controlled by the government. And Not because of the fact that the media is owned by the government. No, it's because the government comes out with licenses, right? So basically, every year, your license gets renewed for a media company, right? For papers, for the TV, the radio. And I used to work on radio. So there were so many things we couldn't say because of that, right? So the moment you go against the government goes, all right, your license, gone.
So this the British lady, though, she wasn't working for a Malaysian newspaper or media.
No. She works for her own blog. Yeah, it's called the Sarawak Report because she used to expose the Sarawak, you know, lumbering tycoons and how they, you know, rape the land more or less, you know, basically from, like, you know, it's just illegal lumber and stuff like that. And basically, when she got her hands on this, she was like, hell yeah, because she was the only one who could do it. Yeah. And The Edge as well, because when The Edge, basically a Malaysian newspaper, published it, they came up with a headline that was, this could be our last issue.
Yeah.
Was it? What happened to them?
They got, their license got revoked.
That was their last
issue.
It was.
Go out with a blaze of glory. If you're thinking of getting out of the business anyway, you might as well.
Yeah, so basically they were just, no, look, they're back now because, you know, but I mean, the thing is, look, they it was a calculated risk and I understand why they did it. It just went like, look, you know, this could be our last, but we have, you know, journalistic integrity. We have to do this. So they put it out. Everything went, you know, out. And then, you know, people started getting to know this. So, yeah, but 2018 elections.
They had journalist integrity except for paying the guy who gave them all the information that they... hanging.
Well, you don't have to, that guy's blackmailing.
That guy's
in jail now. Nobody cares. There's an account. You can look it up. Like, you know, he has a blog or something that, you know, basically tells everything that happened to him in prison, and it's horrible. It's horrible. Thai prisons. I'm sure you know horrible.
Ever spent any time in a Thai prison, Billy?
I don't know. You look like someone who would spend time in a Thai prison.
Me? Possibly, yeah. I didn't know it was a ladyboy. Anyway.
I don't think that's illegal. I think that's fine.
Okay, good. I didn't know it was seven. No, go on.
Again, that's fine. But moving on very quickly. The fact... So 2018 elections, right? The campaign, he spent a lot of money. He had to spend a lot of money, you know, telling everyone that, look, there was nothing wrong. It was a donation from the Saudi king. Now, if you wanted to check whether it was a donation from the Saudi king, he died, unfortunately. So nobody could check. Like, even his kids were like, we don't know. He gives money to everyone.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, nobody could check. Everybody was like, yeah, it's a donation. Fine. So that was the campaign, right? So the, even the guys from the 1MDB, they were going out and campaigning for the ruling government, saying that, look, we have money. We have money stored here. We have money stored here. We have assets. We have this land. We have this building. We have this. So we, our money is right here. We have all the money, and we're paying all our debts. And we are fine, right? Come the election, everybody votes for the coalition. Now, the biggest...
The opposition party.
The opposition party, right? And the thing is, the biggest controversy there was that they... Because Mahathir was very outspoken against Najib as well, especially with all this, right? Now, his, Najib's deputy prime minister, vice prime minister, so he spoke out against Najib. Now, he was fired from his party, and then he started his own party with
Mahathir. And that's Mahathir. Anwar.
No, with Mahathir. Oh, that's so that Anwar. Was the okay. Party Peribumi PPBM, which basically... then had a coalition with Anwar. Anwar in 1998, yeah, I forgot this one, 1998 was Mahathir's vice prime minister as well. Now, he got fired and thrown in jail for sodomy charges and, of course, corruption as well.
That's what Kaplan talked about earlier for gay acts, right?
Yeah. Sodomy, yes. Basically, was sodomy. The thing.
Yeah. So didn't they say embezzlement and... Yeah, sodomy combo or?
Yeah, embezzlement and sodomy, yes, but nobody cared about the embezzlement part.
Right. Was the sodomy legit or was it just trumped up?
Is it illegal? It's illegal to be gay in Malaysia?
It's not illegal to be gay, but not so to speak, right? But the thing is, it's sodomy is illegal.
Okay.
Unnatural acts of sex, apparently. So yeah, like in Singapore as well, if like in Singapore, it's a bit more relaxed because if you, even blowjobs are illegal, apparently. I just found this out. And in Singapore, like if you give a blowjob, you must follow up by sex.
Whoa.
If not, it's illegal.
You hear that, ladies?
Yeah.
You have no getting out of it. No saving yourself till marriage with the blowjob.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. I wish I went to high school. I wish I went to college in this.
I know. This is in Singapore. In Malaysia, blowjobs are illegal, right? Ooh. Blowjobs, anal sex, titty fuck, I don't know.
Wait, female blowjobs are illegal?
No.
Because it's even an unnatural
male,
act of
male
sex.
To male, it doesn't matter.
All blowjobs. You can't give yourself all blowjobs, one if you're you can limber.
Yeah, nothing. That's all. But it's not enforced unless you're the vice prime minister of Malaysia.
What if you were a cop and that was your beat?
Yeah, blowjob beat.
Just going busting into people's houses.
Every car you go by and the lookout point, you're looking at it. You're like,
It's funny you should say that because we do have a vice police and basically the religious department of Malaysia. Called Jakim. So they have, like, in every state, they have this vice police and they knock on hotel doors in the middle of the night to make sure that nobody's having, unnatural intercourse. Yeah.
Speaking of none of that.
I don't know, that's a good segue.
Speaking of none of that, it's time to advertise a children's cereal, Kaplan. Yeah. Actually, this is our sponsor, Kevin. Magic Spoon. This is the number one cereal in our hearts. I think in the world. I think it's fair to say in the world. Just don't check that.
It's not just a cereal. It's a way of life. This cereal is taking over the world right now.
Kevin, you remember when you were a kid? I don't know what cereal was like in Malaysia when you were growing up. But here it was like there was two families. There was either the family that just said, hey, kids, do whatever you want. And those kids ate just all that sugary cereal. Like you had to... It was basically like just having a big bowl of sugar for breakfast. And apparently in the 80s, the boomer parents thought that was a good idea. That was one half. If you're like then, you end up like Kaplan.
If you're like then, your kids end up bribing people and embezzling money.
Exactly. Right. The other one is you end up like me or a cop, we could say, the people we were talking about earlier, where you the other kids got the kind of just bland cereal.
It
had no sugar in it, but it was healthy for you.
Yeah.
Now we have Magic Spoon. This combines both. This is all the sugary cereals you had as a kid, all the flavors, except for there's no sugar in it. So they have four cocoa, fruity, frosted, blueberry. Those are the flavor options, plus a whole bunch of other flavors. It has zero sugar, 11 grams of protein, 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It tastes amazing. It's too good to be true. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, GMO free. Kaplan.
And we should tell people that we haven't mentioned this before. We have big news this week.
Yes.
If you go to magicspoon.com /lost, you get, and you enter in the promo code lost when you're buying at checkout, you don't just get free shipping. You know, people said free shipping's not enough. We want more. We heard you. We've made it happen. You get $5 off.
Yes. Here's what happened.
Your entire order.
They said since we started working with Magic Spoon, and Kevin, we've been doing this podcast for 4 years. This is our first ever paying sponsor. So we need our listeners to buy Magic Spoon so we can continue not feeling like losers. So we need them to buy it. We can keep the show going. But they said, listen, guys, we're going to give you free shipping for all your listeners if they go to magicspoon.com/lost and use the promo code lost to check out. We said, fine, that sounds good. Kaplan was hearing from the listeners the past couple weeks. He went over to the Magic Spoon headquarters.
Yeah.
He told them, we need more.
I said, we can't give you more.
We're tight. And he said, I don't care. We do need more. They said, fine, Cap, for you, $5 off.
$5 off. And let me just tell you something. You know, in my family, we're talking about routines and everything. It's one of those things when you grow up and you have children, you want to like relive what you did as a kid. You want to sit down, have a family meal together. You have dinner, you talk about your day, but you know, with the quarantine and you just don't do it. It never happens. The TV's on, everyone's eating at different times. Nobody wants to talk. Everyone's on their phone. The other day, something magical happened in my home. Breakfast time on a Saturday, pulled out the Magic Spoon. Ruby Kaplan had a bowl of blueberries she wanted. Teddy Kaplan wanted a bowl of Frosty. Randy Kaplan wanted this cocoa that I'm holding up. I wanted a mix of everything. I took a little fruity, a little frosted, a little blueberry, a little cocoa. I put it all in a bowl, sat down. It just happened naturally, organically. I didn't plan it. Sit down and I looked up and we were all just sitting there talking about our day, what we're going to do today. We're eating cereal, no phones. No,
like a 1950s family on TV.
We were transformed to 1950, but with less sugar. It was magical.
The Cleavers.
We were the Cleavers, the Kaplan Cleavers. It was, and then I looked at the box. I think Ruby actually pointed that to me. She said, Daddy, what does that say? And it says on this box, hold on to the dream. And, you know.
Well, speaking of holding on to this dream, Kaplan, one thing we've also failed to mention, happiness, 100% guaranteed. Happiness, Kevin. Have you ever heard of a company guaranteeing happiness?
Hold on. How do you guarantee 100% happiness?
You have a damn good product and you give people $5 back. That's
no, and if they're not happy, I think if you're not happy, they'll give you your money back. I mean, I don't quote me. I'm only reading the ad.
Yeah. If you're not happy,
I'm on the website now, I'm buying like 3. Do they send outside of the US?
Oh, that's the issue.
That's going to be the next time I go down there. The next time I head to headquarters, I'm going to kick some tables over and say, we have an international audience.
Kaplan put on his 3-piece suit to get his $5 off. He's going to have to put on a 5-piece suit to get him to ship international.
How are people in Azerbaijan going to buy this?
Well, Azerbaijan, they don't like us.
We do not have, that's our lowest rated. That's not even a bit. We've looked at the numbers. We have like one listener in the whole country.
You know what we told you earlier? We're the most popular podcast in Armenia.
Yeah.
We're also the least popular podcast in Azerbaijan.
The Armenians are going to eat this cereal so that they're ready for the next war. They're going to be in better shape. The Azerbaijanians are going to be fat from their sugar and they're not going to see it coming.
Yeah,
that's
how
any dog wins. It's like a
when
Rocky
you go
movie.
In your 5-piece suit cap, you got to make sure that they ship to Azerbaijan. I mean, to Armenia.
All of
not
our allies.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah, we want our allies.
Only allied.
All
countries.
The countries we do podcasts with that we have a good relationship with.
Malaysia,
we're gonna figure it out because look, it's Martin Luther King Day here in New York. Here in America, he had a dream. I have a dream. Hold on to the dream. eat well. It's not too late. New Year's, all that stuff. Make a resolution. Lose weight. I'm gonna do it with you. I'm gonna lose some weight. Look at me. I'm disgusting, but I'm changing.
Kaplan's disgusting. And scene. Now, a word from your local sponsors. All right, we're back, Kevin.
Back to the blowjobs.
Let's skip ahead. I want to skip ahead because we're already halfway through. And this story is
that was a great segue.
What's that?
Yeah, that was a great segue because that's exactly how, you know, the ruling party was selling, you know, re-election in 2018. And it was
like how great. We sell Magic Spoon?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Not as well. No way it was as well. Good job. You get $5 off if you vote.
Actually, they got a little bit more, about 100 ringgit, I think. There was about $2.
Maybe 100% happiness guarantee, but unlike the Malaysian prime minister, this is Magic Spoon.
We just keep going. We can't stop the spot. It's Magic Spoon.
All right, let's skip ahead. So
let's get
to 2018. Najib loses and Mahathir wins.
Right? Mahathir takes power, right? So now
he's back.
He was the fourth prime minister, also the seventh. It's weird, right?
He's so the 94-year-old we mentioned earlier.
Yes, he was 93 when he took power. He's 95 now.
Was he popular when he was on the first time around? Did people they welcome him back? Was this a
is he like a grandfather? Oh, we all love him, or is he like a kind of a ruler dictator type?
Oh no, at that time we all loved him because you know he spoke up against Najib and nobody else was. And the fact that look, you know, he had a and at that time everybody was like, oh, you know, the savior, and he promised to give Anwar the prime ministership in 2 years.
This was in 2018.
This is in 2018. So 2020, Anwar was supposed to take over, right? So he promised, I'm 94. I'm not going to live for very long, which is, you know, I think he's going to live forever. And
he must be eating Magic Spoon, this guy.
he has a Magic Spoon. And so, and the thing was, look, you know, everything was great. We made documentaries. Everybody was partying in the streets, you know, immediately, you know, everyone from the 1MDB left. They raided Najib's house and they found just lying around, I think, about $280 million just lying around.
Whoa. Which is in like a suitcase or something?
In cash?
Yes, actually. No, it was in suitcases. I kid you not. Oh, it was in multiple suits. So they raided his house, one of his houses. And basically, they just found suitcases over suitcases of jewelry, cash in different currencies. They found just basically handbags, which was... Okay, you know how Imelda Marcos in Philippines...
A lot of shoes.
Yeah. So Rosma, who was the, you know, prime minister's wife, in Malaysia, she's with handbags, right? So Belkins, you know, all sorts. So they found 280 million, or was it 100? It was 100 million. $100 million worth of products and cash just lying around his house.
I made a note. It was like 537 handbags she had or something like that. It was in the 500s.
That is correct.
Beat Randy Kaplan. Impressive.
I have like three shoes. And, so they found all that and then suddenly the guys from 1MDB changed their tune immediately. They were like, so where's the money? We don't know. We never had any money. Right. So
party. Yeah. They now.
Yeah. So this was 3 weeks ago. They were saying like, you know, 1MDB has the money. We've been paying our debts, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The moment the opposition takes over, they look at the accounts and they go, yeah, we never had any money. Right. Yeah. We were lying.
Of course.
You know, so basically they found out that they haven't paid their debts. They haven't paid, you know, the interest in their debts. And they've owed more than $1 billion. In debts, and the fact that, you know, the company was basically just being bailed out by the government with you know, the funds.
So it was government money, it was taxpayer dollars that were paying
these
debts.
Of course, yes. You know, everything just crumbled, right? Najib tried to run away. this was my favorite story of the whole thing, right? So he came out, he said, look, you know, we've lost the elections, blah blah blah. And then gets into a car and drives straight to the airport, right? To get out of
the That's not a good sign.
Yeah,
he didn't contest the results. He didn't say Dominion or anything. He just,
no.
It's leaving the country. I'm out.
He was just saying, I'm tired. I'm going on a holiday.
Leaving my handbags behind.
Yeah. And then at the airport, like, just people were stopped everyone from entering the airport, right? He couldn't enter the airport because they were blocked by people just barricading, just going, nope, you're not going anywhere.
Oh, they knew he was doing that. I like
he
it.
He was this unpopular. Wow.
No, and the thing was that they went online immediately. People were online and on watches for flight charters, and they were looking for like private flights out of Malaysia. And they found like, you know, the one that was registered to Najib or Najib's aide, and they just blocked that flight. They're just like, no, you're not going anywhere.
Whoa.
Clever.
Yeah. So he had to stay. And then, everything was great. 2018, we had, you know, we were showing off to Singaporeans that we could have an election. We had democracy. And, you know, we were showing off to the world. And then 2020 hit.
You mean the pandemic?
Yeah, not only that. Pandemic hit, yes. But also the fact that, look, in the coalition.
The coalition crumbled. The 94-year-old Mahathir's coalition crumbled in February 2020. Yeah. Right.
Yes, in February 2020, what happened was, so he was being pressured, because it was 2020, it's 2 years after the election, he was being pressured to say, you know, step down, you're 95, just step down, you know, chill out, just give...
retire.
Retire, just, you know, you're 90, yeah. Shut the hell up and just leave, you know? And give it to Anwar, right? And apparently... there were people in Anwar's party who were not happy with, you know, being second fiddle as well. They wanted to be prime minister.
Because they had won as a coalition, but yet Anwar's side, his part of the coalition, didn't have much power. Right. Is that right?
Yeah, no, the thing is, they were the highest number of seats in the parliament, yeah. So they had power. But the thing was that because of how Malaysia works, so basically, like, you know, a lot of people from the then opposition switched sides. So UMNO, the party that was in power before this, before the 2018 elections, so a lot of the member of parliament switched sides to Mahathir's party, right? Mm-hmm. So because they still wanted to be in power, so they switched sides. So, you know, the parity between the seats was not much. So, but yes, still, Anwar's party was the most powerful, right? So the thing was, the arrangement was that he was prime minister, Mahathir was prime minister for 2 years, and then he gives it for Anwar, right? Now, Mahathir just went, I don't know if I want to give it away now. I don't know.
A pandemic coming up. I want to run this.
Of course.
I don't know if I want to give it away to him, you know? I maybe want to give it away to someone else.
You never want to give it away to a guy that you previously imprisoned.
Yeah. They were giving so much pressure to Mahathir that Mahathir just went, I'm not going to do anything. And then what happened was, so this guy, Azbin Ali, who was basically Anwar's personal aide at one point, and then became, you know, rose higher up in the party. And then he got disillusioned because he wanted to be prime minister as well.
Oh boy.
Right. Here so he was lobbying to Mahathir that, look, don't give it to Anwar, give it to me, right? And Mahathir was like, yeah, I can't just give it to you. I mean, you know, it doesn't work like that. So basically what he did was he structured a meeting with the previous government, UMNO and other guys, and the party of Mahathir with Muhyiddin. You know, he scheduled a meeting and he said, look, we've got enough seats. Let's us take over. Let's see what happens, right? Mm. So Mahathir was supposed to be in that meeting as well, but he was like, oh, nobody called me, so I'm just going to the king. So he goes to the king and he says, I resign. Right?
And why? Yeah. I know that resigned for some strategic reason, but why would Mahathir resign in this situation?
Nobody understands why. What he said was because, oh, I don't have the majority in parliament anymore, so therefore I must resign. But yeah, that's, I call bullshit, because, you know, nobody understands why he would do that. Because if he would have stayed prime minister, he would have just settled everything and everything would be fine, right? But yeah. No, he resigned because he refused to join with the UMNO party. He's like, no, I'm not gonna.
95-year-olds are very stubborn. You know, so
yes.
He can't, there's no rhyme or reason what they do sometimes. So, just,
so he resigned, and immediately after he resigned, the king said, okay, if you resign, fine, but I'm going to make you interim prime minister while I decide what happens. Right.
So I have a question here. Mm. Does the king have the power? I guess the king does have the power to just pick prime ministers, because normally it goes to a vote, right?
Right.
Okay. I have to tell you this. We have 13 13 sultans, right? So each state has its own.
13 kings, right? Yeah.
So basically what happens is every 5 years, they take turns to become the king.
Okay.
Right? So it was this guy, it was this sultan who was the king at that time. And what happened was his majesty decided to, you know, he has the power. If the government crumbles, he has the power to elect the prime minister.
A pick. Okay.
Right? So yeah. Basically what happens is he elects the prime minister with the, obviously with the parliament at his side, kind of, you know. It's very much a ceremonious thing. It's not really a power, but it's a ceremony. It's kind of like the Queen of England.
Yes,
that she right. That's what I was understanding it. The Queen of England will say, like, you could form a government, but it's really more... They do it for show. It's like ceremonial. So is this the first time in a while where they actually really did it? Like the king actually chose a person?
Because typically they'll just pick whoever gets the most seats votes. Or the most votes.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
So, and the king was new too, right? The king was, there was a...
Oh, yeah.
The other king resigned. A king resigned just last year. It was a skin.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes.
Let's stick on this because I don't know how much time we have left. Yeah.
So, okay. So then the king decided that, okay, you know what? Since we don't know who the majority is. So he called every single party to his palace and he said, tell me who you support, right? So after all that, I think there was a slight majority to Muhyiddin, right? So he said, look, I'm going to give it to Muhyiddin, right? At the same time, Mahathir was saying, oh, no, I want to be prime minister again. Right.
So Muhyiddin is the guy. Where does Muhyiddin come from in this?
Okay, Muhyiddin was the vice prime minister of Malaysia when Najib was prime minister.
Under the super corrupt guy. So now Muhyiddin, does he just kind of not necessarily come out of nowhere? Obviously, he's a known person. But if Mahathir is the prime minister, mm-hmm. and then he crumbled his prime ministership, or he resigns.
Yes, he did.
Then now anyone can run. Anyone can not run, but anyone can ask the king to make them prime minister. Is that
you had the numbers in the parliament? He would have to make you the prime minister.
Yeah, you have to form a coalition of enough government.
So yes, everybody just scrambles real quick to try to form a coalition.
Oh yeah, so basically everybody scrambled, and at the same time, Mahathir just went, "I want to be prime minister again. I have the numbers."
But why did he resign?
Why did he resign then? I don't understand.
Nobody knows. Nobody understands.
He's 90, old people. I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. They're not logical.
This is like when you take your grandpa to like a diner and he's like, I don't want to eat here. They have nothing good. And then you leave and he's like, I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat.
Exactly. They burnt the eggs. I told him to I said, burn the fries. Well done. And they're burnt. I will leave it. That's what old people do. It's not logical. So, yeah.
At that point, the king just went, you know, I'm not looking at anybody else. I'm just, you know, Muhyiddin, you're the prime minister, right?
So the king didn't want to deal with it, so he said, Muhyiddin, you're the prime. And this is in February of last year.
Yeah. So, and then Muhyiddin took over.
And what do the people think of this? Like, were people, the population, generally in support of this, or?
No, not at all.
Oh, like, okay.
I mean, we voted for a government, and now the problem was Muhyiddin's coalition involved the party that was, you know, corrupt, and basically voted out over 2018, and we were celebrating, and now they're back in power.
Right?
Wow.
And, you know, Najib, who's part of that party, what's his name? Zaid Hamidi, which is another guy who's, okay, so Najib is facing 36 charges in court, right? Zaid is facing about 40 something charges as well. Now, there were other senior members of the party that were, you know, also facing a lot of charges in currently happening as well. So now they are in power. So everybody was just upset that, you know, since they're in power, they're just going to drop all the charges because that's what happens to people.
Once you get your own power back, you can almost make yourself like, you can pardon yourself. Of sorts.
Yeah, of course. You don't pardon yourself, but you control the courts and you tell the judge, like, look, if you want to survive, just drop the charges and everybody
lets off. Everybody wins. And here's some handbags as a little tip.
Here's some handbags
for your wife.
But, and so there's no, and now there can't be an election. The king has decided no election because of coronavirus. Is that right?
Okay. So that's a whole different story as well. So now in 2000 and in the end of 2018, Anwar suddenly stepped up and said, look, I have the numbers. Right.
End of 2020.
So he just went, I have the numbers. I have enough members of parliament in support of me to become prime minister. Right. So just before that, we had a state election in Sabah, one of the East Malaysian countries. And we were doing well with the numbers. We were great with COVID. Numbers. We had like, you know, 2-3 cases a day, you know, wow. Not many deaths. It was great. Everything was, you know, we were doing well with the pandemic. And basically what happened was when that election happened, that was when Muhyiddin and the UMNO party, which was the corrupt one, decided that if we win this election, we can show everyone that, you know, we're still in power and we're still wanted. This was their election, right? So what they did was they put every single resource they have in that election. They, every single one of them traveled to Sabah to, you know, campaign without masks, without, you know, and, you know, it's very rural. So it's very poor. So, you know, people don't understand the significance of masks and, you know, stuff like that. So they were coming from a place which was heavily infected to a place that was not a rural area, which is not heavily infected. Oh, and basically, you know what happens next. Our numbers just surge.
Super spreader. No. That sounds a little familiar to us.
Yes. And this is all to win a state election because it symbolizes send a that message. They have
yes.
power.
Yes. Yeah.
So then your coronavirus numbers start spiking nationally as a result.
Yeah. It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
It spikes like crazy. And they win the election. They do win the election, which is fine. But then they come back and then the virus just, you know, the numbers just went up. And now
they say, oh, we can't have elections now because the virus is bad. It's sort of virus get worse. And now we can't have an election until the pandemic's over, which is a pretty open-ended statement. No, because I mean,
they said it could be August 1st.
That's like the earliest, right?
Yeah. So basically what happened was Anwar came out and said, we have the numbers, blah, blah, blah. And then the UMNO party, the corrupt one, basically said, look, we're in a loose coalition with this Muhyiddin party, right? We're not really friends. We're just acquaintances.
Yeah.
Right. I love him, but I love him like a brother. And basically, you know, making that coalition a bit loose as well, because they have the original coalition they have to take care of, right? So now Muhyiddin's feeling the heat under the collar, because if it goes to either a parliamentary, you know, kind of vote of no confidence, he would lose. Or if it goes to elections, he knows that his party has no support, because he can't go back to the opposition coalition anymore. Anwar's coalition, he can't go back to, you know, the UMNO coalition anymore. So he's stuck in the middle. So what he did was, because of the number spiking, he went to the king and said, let's declare a state of emergency.
And so, yeah, because he knows he's not going to win whatever comes next. So now it'll be, I mean, he got power in March 2020. And so it'll be almost a year and a half. I mean, August before he'll even have his first election. He hasn't
won an election at all. No. He hasn't been through an election. But the thing is, look, I agree up to a point that we need to not have elections, but to not have parliamentary sitting as well, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Wait, the parliament. So there's not even.
And is the king's idea? Is the king's idea just stability, just whatever's safest?
Yeah, and I don't think the king had a much of a choice as well, because, as I said, his powers are mostly ceremonial.
Yeah,
and also the fact that, look, if the prime minister at that time says, look, this is what we want to do, I don't think he has really the power to say no. I mean, I'm sure he does have some influence, but I think, you know, he just went, look, for the stability of the fact that, look, he could have been threatened with the fact that, look, if you don't call a state of emergency, I'm going to dissolve parliament. Yeah. And if you dissolve parliament, immediately there's a, you know, election, and basically, you know what happens, you know, spikes. And
your coronavirus is on your head.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, I think he had a choice, and I think he made a choice under duress that, yeah, look, I need to keep the people safe. So, you know, I'm just going to say state of emergency until August, and then we'll see what happens.
So, and how long's the king in power for? It just
5 years.
Yeah,
five years. Okay.
How did that come about? I like that idea that it's the king's kind of trade. So you're only the king for 5 years, and then it's someone else's turn in the next.
What do you do when you're not the king?
Are the kings all are they family related to each other, or how do they become a king?
No. So okay, so the original sultans of each state, right? So this goes back to like ancient history when you know, Malaysia was founded. Not Malaysia, but each state was founded, and each state was founded on a kingdom, right? So each state had a kingdom. So when the states came together, each sultan or 13 of them just, you know, kind of got together and said, look, who's the king now? And they just, so they just went like, okay, we'll do this. Every 5 years, one of you guys will be king.
That's amazing that has held, that there hasn't been.
Can you imagine that holds, but the prime ministers don't? You know what I mean?
Know. So, it's
like the prime minister you can't trust, but the king you can.
Right.
The king.
Yeah, I mean,
no
the
problem.
Thing is, there are sultans we don't trust. There are sultans we do trust. And, you know, this king is actually one of the trusted ones, right? And also the fact that, you know, he is well loved by the people. And also the fact that, you know, they are also head of their state. So that's fine. Like, I think they make. I mean, they're okay with being head of their own state because they have that leadership thing going on. Uh-huh. So once they become the king, then the, you know, it's basically very ceremonial, and I mean, I'm sure they get a lot of money out of it, but you know, it's basically, it's not like they have the power anyway.
Yeah, okay.
They can't start a war or anything. They're not, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if under martial law, they're in charge of the army, so.
Oh.
If that ever happens.
Well, we are in martial law right now.
Oh,
so,
because of coronavirus.
Because of coronavirus.
Interesting. So they could. All right. Watch out, neighbors.
What about, because that first, the party, the first party that the UN, UNMO. I know you, UNMO, is that how you say it?
UMNO.
The UMNO party was in power from like 1957 to 2018. I read a little bit about them. It said that they are the kind of represent the ethnic Malay people, which is 63% of the country. And so therefore, if you do whatever they want, they'll vote for you. You'll stay in power. Is that kind of how they kept their power?
Yeah. The thing is, because it was a coalition as well.
You also have the Chinese were 25% or 24%, and ethnic Indian was like 7%.
Something like that, yes. So basically,
Q is the other 1%.
QAnon.
The immigrants, right? So, so we have, they had a coalition, right? It's called the Barisan Nasional, or the coalition of parties, right? So they had the Malay party, they had the Chinese party, and they had the Indian party. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why they had the support, and also the fact that look, they had the experience. We didn't really have an opposition coalition as much. And whoever we had was just basically smaller parties who didn't really get along with anybody. Right. So I think over the last three elections, that's when, you know, Anwar's party, when he got fired. So he started a party called, People's Action Party. Something like that, and basically started the coalition with the oppositions as well. So they decided. So, and the thing is, the ruling party, Barisan Nasional, they are very race based, right? So they have the Malay party, they have the Chinese party, they have the Indian party. Whereas the opposition is more towards the fact that, look, we are a Malaysian party. We're not race based.
Modern way.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of people are shifting from this mindset to this mindset because the Indian party and the Chinese party didn't get any votes in 2018, right? Or even before that, in 2014, they didn't get any votes, right? So even the ethnic Malays, they are moving on from UMNO because of all the money that they've stolen and stuff like that. So they're moving on to, you know, the opposition as well. So there's a lot of shift happening in the people of Malaysia. I mean, there's still a lot of rural areas where nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has a TV, you know, nobody has internet, where they don't know what is happening. So they just want stability. So they just want whatever that's there.
Whatever happened before.
They don't have podcasts there. That's horrible.
Unfortunately, you have number one in rural Malaysia.
By the way, we should say that we've hovered around in the top five in the stand-up comedy category for Malaysia. So I have a feeling this is going to go to number one.
Print the shirts. Print the shirts.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, because the number one podcast is the Macha Man podcast, which is my podcast in San
Francisco. Oh,
we should promote your podcast.
You have a shirt, number one in a Malaysia shirt? So I don't see those.
Where's your merch?
You don't. Yeah. The problem is we don't have, sponsors like Magic Spoon. So, hey, Magic Spoon, if you want to get into the Malaysian market, the Macha Man podcast is for you.
There we go.
We get a cut of that. Anything you get from Magic Spoon. We're like
we're from the Lost in America.
We're
tree.
Like Petro Saudi over here. Give us a little bit. Throw us some millions
Petro
to us.
Petro Saudi.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife's yay is going to be happy with the new handbags I'm going to get her with all this.
Exactly.
So yeah, how is the
this is
yeah, go ahead.
The story that I've told you is very much a condensed version of stories, because look, we can be 3 hours talking about this and it will not end.
I mean, there's a million other questions I didn't even get to. I'm almost
Next time.
Like, at some point we need a part two. I want to get into how historically how the race, it's interesting to me, the Indian, Chinese, Malay groups. And then I've seen it in comedy. Like when I come out and perform with you guys, a lot of the jokes go back and forth that way. And I wonder, I would imagine in the old days, maybe they were pretty separate or segregated. And now it doesn't seem that way at all. I don't know exactly though, but that maybe
it's getting back. Like, you know, obviously colonial days, it was very separated because that's how, you know, Britain kind of, you know, segregated everybody.
How they wanted it.
But the thing is, you know, everybody just came together and, you know, it was okay and now it's starting to, you know,
it's separating like again.
Yeah, it's kind of like America, right?
I was going to say, that's like us, yeah.
Your left and rights are the loudest voices, and then you don't hear anything from the middle, which is the basic, you know, the majority anyway. So, yeah, that's what happens.
I mean, that's the common theme in almost every episode of this we do, and it has to be internet. It has to be Twitter. It has to be...
The internet, yeah.
That's the only thing Facebook. That all these countries have in common that are having these race relationship problems and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
we need the alt middle of Malaysia. We're gonna we brought that to America. We're gonna bring it to you guys next.
How's is the club open? The Crack House, or where do you perform?
No,
these days?
We're in complete lockdown.
Martial
now
law.
Because of the spikes.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Martial law and complete lockdown. So because of the spikes, we're getting 2,000 cases. I think we had 4,000 a few days ago. Cases a day happening, and it's pretty much complete lockdown for the next 2 weeks, but I'm very sure it's going to be extended as well. So yeah, the clubs opened up and then they had to close again, and then now it's just closed.
Yeah. Are you going to come over to the, once this is all done, come to the US?
I did actually come to the US. I did a couple of shows in LA, and I was supposed to come in 2020. I bought my tickets and everything.
We talked about you doing our podcast in person a little while back, but we were in New York. And so, well, if you come to New York, once this is done, come to New York. We'll do some shows together, do the podcast live.
No, definitely. It's in the plans. I've got my tickets anyway, so I can't refund it.
Oh, nice.
You got a credit.
Getting your points. Sounds good. Cavan Jade, thank you so much for doing the podcast, man. Everybody check out Cavan, cavanjade.com. Also watch his Netflix special, Everybody Calm Down. Streaming now, streaming all the time on Netflix. Kaplan, that's it. What should we do?
Don't listen to his podcast this week. Only listen to ours, but listen to his the rest of the weeks.
Wait, what's the name of your podcast?
What's the name of your podcast?
It's called The Macha Man Podcast.
The Macha Man Podcast.
I like
We're going to be the top two podcasts in Malaysia this week. I'm not going to say number one and two, whatever order that shakes out.
We're a team. So if we're number two and he's number one, I think we got to count that because we're giving him a bump. He's giving us a bump, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, we're coalition.
There you go. That's how parliamentary politics
work. We'll let you be first the first week as long as you promise to hand it over to us in week two.
All right. You know what? This week you can be number one. It's fine.
All right. Sounds good.
Look at that deal.
Cap, what should we do?
Let's get lost.
Get lost.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.